This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And it is a great Sunday to be here. As Jessica was just telling, it's not going to be too bad of a day today.
No, the storm chance is not too high today.
Yeah,
so,
maybe a little bit of rain, but you know, we should be okay. And people going to the state fair, of course, want to know that weather. And, you know, that's not the only thing that went on this weekend in Milwaukee. Oh, Mandy, I love this song. Barry Manilow was in town. Do you like that song?
Jessica? Yeah, it's a nice one. Yeah.
I named my dog after it.
Oh,
not the dog I have now, but when this song was popular, I named my old English sheepdog Mandy. And we used to sing that song together.
Oh, did you sing it together? Oh,
we did. Yeah, it was very sweet, very sweet. But I love Barry Manilow. And last night he had his, what he said was his last concert in Milwaukee ever. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people obviously were there because it was Fiserv Forum. But you know what I thought was really cool? And Pete Levy is reporting this in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. He awarded $10,000 to a local music teacher in Cudahy High School before his concert last night. He gave a check and an award to Cudahy music teacher Alex St. Louis. Now, how cool was that?
Yeah, it sounds like this is something that Barry Manilow does frequently. It's actually called the Manilow Music Project Award, that students actually nominate the teacher in the area where he's going coming to perform, and then he awards that teacher ahead of time.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
And congratulations to Cudahy for that, because I know they've got a great music department there. But do you know, because I know a little bit about Barry Manilow, do you know he used to write jingles for TV commercials?
Oh.
I hate that song. That's the one Barry Manilow song I do not like, Isaac. No, but he used to write jingles. He wrote a lot of television commercial jingles. And also, guess who he was the piano player for when the singer first got started? He was her accompanist. Do you know? You're a musician, Isaac. You should know these things.
My best guess is Beyonce.
No. He played piano. He played backup piano for Bette Midler when she was first getting started, when she was doing the bathhouses in New York City, which is where she got her start as a performer. He was playing piano for her. Oh. So he's been around a long time. But boy, I think this is so cool that he awarded that money to Cudahy High School and Alex St. Louis, the school teacher there. So kudos to Barry Manilow. And people who don't like his music, you're the same people who don't like Lee Greenwood. God bless the USA. I just, you know, okay, I'm into corny music. I love it. What can I say? That's me. I like show tunes, too. All right, good way to get started on a Sunday morning. I see Isaac in there. He's holding his ears. You just, yeah, okay. Anyway, we've got a busy show today. We mentioned the state fair, and of course, it is underway, and we're going to hear all about what's going on today with Christy Chuckle. And speaking of the fair, also Sandy Max is going to be here, and she's going to talk about some of the experiences she's had at the fair and things to see, particularly from a musical perspective. Plus, a very special bear is celebrating his birthday this week. And we're going to tell you when you can meet him at the fair.
Oh, I want to know.
Yeah, I know.
Who is this bear?
Well, it's too bad Wyatt Barmar-Pulu isn't doing news this morning, because he and I used to talk about bears a lot.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He knows everything about bears. But we'll tell you a little bit later on. Also, this time of the year, if you don't get to the state fair next weekend, there is a really great art show. It's free, and it goes on in the Deer District. We're going to tell you all about that. That's going to happen on Saturday and Sunday. Also, our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen, is here. She's got a warning about some back-to-school shopping scams. And boy, people are out there. They are shopping now. Also, Teddy Nichol from the Milwaukee Business Journal is going to reveal how busy those Milwaukee hotels actually were during the RNC. We're going to hear from Eric Bilstead with his story about an everyday hero. We'll also take a look back at the week in review. Jessica Gatso is here in the newsroom. Isaac Marquardt, of course, is pushing those buttons. And in just 2 minutes, it's going to be, speaking of Wyatt Barmore-Pooley at sports right here on WTMJ. It is 8:12. And what's our temperature again, Jess?
Right now we have 75 degrees.
Wow, it's going to be a beautiful day in Milwaukee.
A valiant effort by the crew fighting back Saturday afternoon in Washington, but it was ultimately too little too late in a 6-4 loss in the nation's capital. Brewers starter Aaron Civale only recording the first two outs of the bottom of the first before the trouble started. Five consecutive Nationals reaching base, and the Brewers were in a 4-0 hole by the end of the frame. Civale could not put away the Nats, giving up 3 2-strike hits in the inning, a fourth in the third when Luis Garcia pulled an 0-2 pitch into the seats, pushing Washington's lead to 5-0. That is the sixth home run allowed by Civale in just his first 23 innings with the Brewers. The offense wasn't going down without a fight, though. After a Rhys Hoskins homer in the sixth cut the deficit to 6-2, the Brewers drew within a pair of runs in the eighth. Churio scored on a wild pitch, and Gary Sanchez made it 6-4.
Here's the 1-0 pitch, and a ground ball back up the middle into center field for a base hit. Mitchell will score. Sanchez delivers with an RBI single, and don't look now. The Brewers trail by just two runs here in the eighth.
Unfortunately, you do have to look now. That was all they'd get. Hoskins had the chance for heroics again, representing the tying run. He flew out to center against Nationals closer Kyle Finnegan. Rubber game in D.C. this afternoon. Tobias Myers on the mound for the crew. Our coverage starts at noon on WTMJ. Across the pond in Paris, a banner day for the American women at the Olympics. Simone Biles wins her latest gold in vault this time, her third of the game's seventh overall. Swimmer Katie Ledecky won the women's 800-meter freestyle, her ninth Olympic gold medal of all time. She joins Michael Phelps as the only swimmers to win the same event at 4 straight summer games. And Trinity Rodman with a spectacular extra time strike for the U.S. women's soccer team to move on in the knockout round. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Wyatt. It's good to have you here this morning doing sports. It's 8:16. Okay, speaking of Barry Manilow. Now, Isaac, I want you to pay attention to this. Did you ever hear the jingle, like a good neighbor, State Farm is here or there?
Of course.
Yeah, well, he wrote that. He wrote that back in the early 70s. He also, okay, now I don't know if I can do it. The Band-Aid commercial. I'm stuck on a Band-Aid and a Band-Aid stuck on me.
Classic.
Yeah, well, he wrote that one. And in addition, he also wrote a Dr. Pepper jingle. He wrote one for, you probably don't know about this one, Stridex, the acne fighting project. He said it was called Give Your Face Something to Smile About. I don't remember that one, but he wrote that one. But also, probably his most famous, he wrote this.
Grab a bucket and mop. Scrub the bottom and top. There is nothing so clean as my burger machine. With a broom and a brush, clean it up for the rush. Before you open the door, put a shine on the floor. When we finish one dent, start all over again. Tell me, what does it mean? At McDonald's it's clean.
Have more lyrics than that. I just knew the last part. But that was Barry Manilow wrote that song. I mean, you know, the guy, he will forever, you know, he'll be long gone and people will still remember some of those commercials that he wrote. All right, it is 8:18. We've got Teddy Nichol just around the corner. She's got some business news for you, including how did those hotels do in Milwaukee during the RNC? Oh, you'll want to hear about this one. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's time to check in with Teddy Nichol from the Milwaukee Business Journal. And Teddy, I know a lot of people still want to get out of town in time for that summer vacation, but they're not going to be happy with this news from Frontier.
So Frontier has already cut its direct flights from Milwaukee to Orlando, as well as Fort Myers, Florida. And later in August, they will also be cutting their routes to Philadelphia and Raleigh-Durham. But I think it's important to note, Frontier is a relatively small air carrier for Milwaukee. They have only 3% of the market share out of Mitchell Airport. So obviously, fewer flights from Milwaukee is not great news, but there are many other carriers that have a larger percentage of the share in Milwaukee.
Well, that's the good news of that story. So let's talk about something that took a lot of people by surprise this week, and that is George Oliver stepped down as Johnson Controls CEO, and I think it surprised a lot of people, didn't it?
Yeah, so Johnson Controls is one of Wisconsin's largest publicly traded companies. They have thousands of employees in the state, and of course, their North American headquarters is in Glendale. So obviously, this affects a lot of people locally. He announced that he will be stepping down, but will remain on as the CEO as the company searches for his replacement. So the company has hired a search firm that's conducting that now, and he'll stay in the role at least for the time being. But yes, he is planning to step down.
I thought it was interesting in the article where it said that an activist investment firm had a conversation with him. What do they mean when they say an activist investment firm?
Yeah, good question. So activist investors are usually investment firms who will buy up shares of the public companies and then kind of advocate for changes within those companies that they think will increase the value of the shares. So in this case, the investment firm is called Elliott Management. They recently bought a bunch of shares in Johnson Controls such that now they're one of the largest shareholders in the company. And so they have sway in terms of, you know, pushing the board to make certain decisions. And so they were in favor of this move.
Very interesting. All right. Something else that was interesting is the RNC had quite an impact on local hotels.
Yeah, we got some data on how local hotels fared during the RNC, and it was positive. We heard mixed reviews overall on the business impact of the RNC, you know, with some restaurants and bars not happy about how much business they were getting. But in terms of hotels, there was positive news, both in terms of occupancy and nightly room rates. So hotels generally were more than 80% full, up from around 70% normally. And the night before Trump was officially selected as the Republican nominee, downtown hotels were essentially fully booked. And then when you look at the room rates, you know, the average daily room rate in the area jumped by more than 150% to around $500 a night. So people were paying a lot more than normal for to stay in these area hotels.
$500 a night?
That was the average, yes, roughly around
Whoa, that's a lot of money. And I would imagine then, too, that the hotel concessions and restaurants and bars really did well, too.
You know, you would have to imagine, yeah. I think, you know, what we heard anecdotally was that convention goers were kind of just staying near, they weren't venturing too far, so they were eating at restaurants within the security zone and, you know, likely also within those hotels as well.
All right, let's talk about UWM and their announcement about the Waukesha campus and what they're going to do with all that property.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one because Waukesha County obviously is such a popular area in the region, but it's largely built out. There's not really a ton of additional land to build on, but with the closure of UWM's Waukesha campus, it's set to close after the spring 2025 semester. This really represents an opportunity to kind of redevelop some land into new uses. So Waukesha County officials said they envision redeveloping it with housing and some potential commercial use. So they're still working through kind of what that will look like, but they're envisioning a mix of single family and apartments. So they want to kind of add some density in the area to help keep costs down. But this is 86 acres, so really it represents a big opportunity for Waukesha County.
And speaking of property, in and around Mount Pleasant, it looks like Microsoft is buying even more.
Microsoft just continues to expand its holding in Racine County. You know, obviously, this is an ongoing story we've been continuing to cover. They already own more than 1,300 acres in Mount Pleasant, and at the end of July, they purchased another nearly 200 acres north of where they already have land. So all indications point to they will be continuing to purchase even more land. And the company said it's in support of the data center campus that they're already underway with in Mount Pleasant. So they are not showing signs of slowing down.
Do you have any idea what their total acreage land holding is right now?
So they had around 1,300 acres in Mount Pleasant, and then they just purchased another almost 200. So, yeah, right around 1,500 acres is where they'd be at right now.
Whoa, that's a lot of acreage.
Yeah, and just to kind of put that in perspective, the first phase of the data center that they're currently building is only on about 200 or 300 acres. So they have a lot more space to build additional data center facilities in Mount Pleasant there.
A lot of jobs and a lot more people are going to need housing, I would think, with that.
Yeah. There's definitely a demand for housing in Kenosha and Racine County.
Before you go to work, I don't know about you, Teddy. I got to have a great cup of coffee. And this is good news if you live on the east side. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Valentine Coffee Roasters is one of Milwaukee's local coffee companies. They have two other locations, one near Wauwatosa and one in the Third Ward. But they are planning their third location on Downer Avenue on the east side, near the UWM campus. So it's slated to open this fall next to the UWM bookstore building. Recently became a game store. And then next door to that is where the Valentine Coffee will be going.
We got to keep those college students caffeinated and awake in class, don't we?
Exactly. Yeah. So fans of Valentine or students in that area can look forward to that this fall.
Teddy Nagel from the Milwaukee Business Journal. It's always so good to talk with you.
Thanks, Libby.
It's 8:27, and joining us right now is TMJ4 meteorologist Brendan Johnson. And Brendan, I know a lot of people are making plans to go to State Fair this week, and of course after Thursday night, I think, you know, they're checking the skies a little bit more. Tell us about today and tomorrow, if there's anything to really worry about.
Yeah, so good morning, Libby. Yeah, it's a another warm and humid day out there for our Sunday. If you are headed to, you know, Wisconsin State Fair Park today, we're looking at temperatures today topping out in the mid and upper 80s, and some of us could actually make a run towards 90. So the heat and humidity at the front of mind. Heading into the late afternoon, early evening, I can't rule out a pop-up shower, maybe a rumble of thunder. We've got this weak frontal boundary kind of draped across the state. It's hot. It's humid. You know the drill. We've got the ingredients there. We could see a pop-up. So I would have the umbrella if you're going to head to Wisconsin State Fair Park. I don't think things will be as widespread as they were Thursday. We kind of knew that was coming. We kind of knew there was going to be some rainy conditions across the southern part of Wisconsin. But today it's really just kind of hit or miss. Better chance of rain, it looks like, late tomorrow night into Tuesday. And we're also looking for the potential for not just some heavy rain, but also a couple of stronger storms as well.
Now, when you say late tomorrow night, what are we talking about? Any idea?
Yeah, so as of right now, the models that came in this morning really kind of trending dry for most of the day. So if you have plans to maybe head to the Northwoods, central Wisconsin even, it looks like it's going to be a washout, and it looks like there's a potential for some flooding, 1 to 2 inches of rainfall. Now, that entire cluster of showers and storms that parks up north starts to move in our direction around and after dinner time. So I think we can get most of our Monday in. Might have a couple of showers, rumble of thunder in the morning, just some leftover activity from Minnesota, but it looks like most of the day is dry, and then after dinner time into the early morning hours of Tuesday, heavy rain and the potential for a couple of stronger storms. But Libby, the great news is, once we get into the afternoon Tuesday and for the rest of the week, more sunshine, it is cooler and drier. We're talking temperatures in the 70s, and the best piece of news of all is that the dew points fall into the 50s, so it's going to feel so much more comfortable.
Oh, thank you, Brendan. I've been waiting for you to say that for more than a week.
Yes.
Brendan Johnson, TMJ4 meteorologist. Always great to hear from you.
You too, Libby. Take care.
Have a great day. It's 8:29. And welcome back to the second half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. It's quite a week. They were going for the gold in the city of love, or shall we say, amour. A high-profile prisoner swap took place, and they were soaking in the sights and sounds of the state fair and so much more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
President Biden is proposing three significant reforms of the U.S. Supreme Court.
The president would have term limits put in place to end the service of a Supreme Court justice after 18 years.
All of them are big lifts, as they say, and none of them is going to be easily accomplished.
And they know it's official now. To that top step of the podium for Team USA. It's a goal. The greatest to ever do it. Full stop. End of story. Simone Biles is the Olympic all-around champ, and two Americans make the podium here in Paris.
50, the 40. She's going to take it all the way. Cedric for the U.S.
USA!
25 meters left for Ledecky to make more history. And the greatest swimming machine we've ever seen rolls off to another goal here in Paris.
That's that cool ball.
Too strong! I'm bigger than you.
They rocking and rolling, back and forth. Give me that. No, I need that. No, over here. No, over there. What about over there? No, what about there? No, give me that. I need that. That too. No, sit down somewhere. Get that. Wait a minute. Hold it. Way up in the sky. Now down. Back up. Over there. Now over here. Get out the way. Move. I told you we need that.
That was a good point.
A very rude introduction.
Asked by ABC's Rachel Scott about the harsh rhetoric he's directed toward prominent black Americans, the former president bristled. And when Rachel asked if he agrees with fellow Republicans who've called Kamala Harris a DEI hire, Trump falsely claimed that Harris only began identifying as black a number of years ago.
I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black.
Same old show.
I've had a lot of dust on my shoes, but this is the first time that I've had grain dust on my jacket. It feels pretty good.
Transportation Secretary Buttigieg is touring around the Great Lakes, including right here at Port Milwaukee.
That was a very competitive process, so Milwaukee has a lot to be proud of earning that grant, and I know there will be more where that came from.
This is a special report from ABC News, Americans home from Russia.
Reporter Evan Gerskovich and former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan now en route to the U.S. to be reunited with their families.
Looking forward to seeing my family down here and just recuperating from 5 years, 7 months, and 5 days of just absolute nonsense by the Russian government.
What is your message tonight to Vladimir Putin?
Stop.
I'm very sorry, and I apologize.
The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee police chief resigned with a public notice Thursday, citing, quote, broken trust and corrupted investigations by university leadership.
The university says it is deeply disappointed in David Salazar's resignation, which UWM learned about through news reports.
Officially ruled a homicide.
The report includes that 43-year-old Devontae Mitchell's death was caused by, quote, restraint asphyxia and the toxic effects of cocaine and methamphetamine, and also notes injuries occurred by being, quote, restrained in a prone position by multiple individuals after drug
Say
use.
Say it with me. Cream puff-a-palooza.
How do you eat a cream puff?
You twist and pull them apart.
You double the enjoyment. Yes.
Give me two.
We are at the Bank 5-9 studio, broadcasting live from the Wisconsin State Fair. Day one, opening day. Governor Tony Evers, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing today, Steve?
We are good. Are you on your way? I know you have a big ceremony to kind of kick things off this morning.
Yeah, we're en route. Can't wait to get there. Although I heard it's raining, but that's fine. We'll celebrate regardless.
Can we get the kids to give it a beep, beep,
beep?
One more. Beep, beep.
People are lining up already to play stick or no stick, right, sir? That man looks like he wants to punch me in the face. He could not be angrier at the state fair. He is not breaking eye contact with me.
Look with your special eyes.
How you guys doing out there?
We're doing great.
Yeah, yeah? It's the Wisconsin State Fair, right?
Whoa, just take it easy, man.
What are we, gay?
Fix up the damn roads.
The Asianing.
Beep, beep. Around and find out.
The weekend.
And the Weekend Review is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. It's 77 degrees at 8:41, and we're going to hear from Eric Bilstead. He's got an everyday hero right after this. It's 8:44, and it's time to celebrate another everyday hero. Here's Eric Bilstead from Wisconsin's Morning News.
It's time to recognize an everyday hero. An everyday hero is defined as an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning that they'd be saving a life. Everyday Hero is sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care. Today we head to Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan. 15-year-old John Agnello and his mother were fishing along the shore of Lake St. Clair when they saw a car drive into the water.
I just see a car just go flying in the air. It was about, I would say, like 15 yards into the water already, that far.
John tells ABC 7 in Detroit that he and another witness immediately swam out to the car, which was quickly sinking. A woman was inside.
The car was at like 65% water, so then we had to get out the window because the door wasn't opening.
So they pull her through the window, get her to shore, then John swam back to the vehicle to make sure no one else was inside.
The only part that kind of scared me was I was under the water inside the car because I was feeling around in there. it got kind of hard to get out, but I think that's fine.
The car was empty, the woman taken to the hospital, and a 15-year-old boy credited for helping to save her life. John's reaction.
I think that's just how my family raised me, is to take action and all that stuff.
Well, your action, John, saved a life. Thank you, John Agnello, just 15 years old, for being an everyday hero. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care.
What an experience. You know, that's the one thing that, you know how you have fears? Some people are afraid of heights. Some people are afraid of spiders. That's something that always kind of creeps me out, is going into the water in a car. That's just terrifying, as far as I'm concerned. All right, 846, 77 degrees. We're going to get up close to 90 today, and maybe a chance of some rain later on this evening. Coming up next, it's Wyatt and sports right here on WTMJ.
The struggles continue for new Brewers starter Aaron Civale, putting the crew in a 4-0 hole they'd never recover from before the bottom of the first inning was even over. Five consecutive Nationals reached base on 3 2-strike hits in the inning, Civale giving up another in the third inning to Luis Garcia.
Garcia waits, and another 0-2 pitch. Hit deep into right field. Way back there goes Frelick, turning around and watching it fly. Luis Garcia hits it into the seats for a home run.
That pushed Washington's lead to 5-0, ended up being the deciding run as well in a 6-4 loss. That is the sixth homer allowed by Civale in his first 23 innings with the crew. A late comeback effort by the Brewers offense falling short and evening up the series now at a game apiece. Rubber game in D.C. this afternoon. Tobias Myers on the mound for the crew. Our coverage starts at noon right here on WTMJ. And putting on my red, white, and blue top hat to check on the Olympics, Simone Biles, the GOAT, wins her latest gold medal, this time in vault, third of the games, seventh in her career. And she might be the greatest to ever do it on land, but Katie Ledecky is the greatest to ever do it in the water. She won the women's 800-meter freestyle for the fourth straight games, her ninth Olympic gold medal. Her and Michael Phelps are the only swimmers who have won the same event at four straight Olympics. And the U.S. women's soccer team is moving on after Trinity Rodman saved them from PKs, a spectacular extra time strike, a 1-0 win, and the U.S. women's team is moving on from the knockout round. And I won't leave the American men out either. Bespectacled internet sensation Steven Nedorozhik, the pommel horse guy, will be the only U.S. male gymnast to medal individually in Paris, earning a bronze in, of course, the pommel horse. I'm Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
He looks great in that red, white, and blue cap. That's definitely his color. All right, it's going to be a chance of some, it's going to be partly sunny and warm today with a slight chance of storms later today. Not real bad, though. 87, 88, inland maybe 90 for your high. Tonight, another chance of those storms, cloudy and humid, down to 70 degrees. Tomorrow, that's where we're looking at rain and storms, likely, according to TMJ4 meteorologist Brendan Johnson. He said there's some heavy rain possible overnight tomorrow night. Under mostly cloudy skies, 76 for a high. Right now in Oconomowoc, we have 73. Kenosha's at 75. We have 75 in Oak Creek, and it is 75 degrees at WTMJ at 849.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
It is always fun on a Sunday morning when our friend Sandy Max from What's on Tap right here. It's on Monday through Friday when there's not sports on WTMJ. But anyway, Sandy's here.
From 6 till 8, 2 hours about culture and creativity here in Wisconsin and around the world.
Which I love listening to, and I learned much about you. But this is such a big week in Wisconsin with the State Fair in town.
Talk about culture.
I know. Well, I know.
This is a fine tradition.
We love cream puffs. We love things on a stick. But there's a lot of music and great acts that also perform at the State Fair. And that's why I wanted to have you here this morning to talk a little bit about it. And let's see if some of the ones you're looking forward to are the same ones I'm looking forward to.
Ooh, I like this. But dozens and dozens and dozens of bands, because there are 18 bars and restaurants out on the grounds, and each of them have a stage. So you can stroll around and hear cover bands, original bands. You hear music constantly. I would argue just as much as you hear at Summerfest, just in those free stages.
I'll tell you something. I think I like this more for music than Summerfest, because there's such a variety.
It's a different vibe, yeah. But for this afternoon and tonight, my picks first and foremost, a tradition for me, polka music, still storming at 4 o'clock at the Cracovia restaurant. It's right in the neighborhood where the New Berlin Lions corn is and the Giant Slide.
Do you polka?
I try. Really? I have Polish blood and DNA, and it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
I don't think I've polka'd since I was in the Girl Scouts.
Oh, you go to this. It's such a nice, relaxed family setting, and Still Stormin', they'll do some Elvis covers. They'll do some really authentic polka music. It's a wonderful vibe, and they're there not just this afternoon at 4 o'clock, but pretty much every single day of the Wisconsin State Fair.
Who else are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, kids from Wisconsin.
Oh,
they're incredible. Exactly. For 56 years. And if you don't know about Kids from Wisconsin, they are some of the state's brightest musicians, singers, dancers, ages 15 to 20. And they get the opportunity, if they audition and are chosen, to tour all across the Midwest doing a 2-hour Broadway style show. And Wisconsin State Fair is always one of their annual stops. And I know people who are like, how good can they be? They're incredible.
They're
incredible
really
talent.
Good.
And they're young and they're up and coming. So I think you'll really be impressed. And their theme this year is Larger Than Life. And you can see them at 4:30 and 5:45 today. But they're performing every afternoon on the Bank 5-9 Amphitheater stage.
Okay. Are there any names that we hear of as far as, you know, they may have made the pop charts at one time or another?
For today, not necessarily, but local legends Bad Boy.
Oh
yeah. They're playing at 5:30 at Saz's. And they are nicknamed the band that made Milwaukee famous, and they had played before Cheap Trick, REO Speedwagon, Steve Miller, the Doobies. They've got a long legend there. So 5:30 today, and if you miss them today, they are playing again next Sunday afternoon. And another band that I really like, Reverend Raven and the Chain Smoking Altar Boys.
Oh, love them. Yeah.
Yeah, you get the harmonica out. Yeah, they are a lot of fun. They're at 7 o'clock tonight at Major Goolsby's Heartland stage. And then you also got to think, sure, there are all the bands that we just talked about as you stroll around through the bars and the restaurants, but there's National Theater for Children at We Energies Park, which actually they kind of hide some learning and education in there. And that's 3:45 and 5 o'clock today. The Family Variety Stage has the Hip Hop Juggler this afternoon and all throughout the
juggler.
Week.
Hip Hop Juggler. Okay, this I have to say.
Getting the basketballs out, which at least if you drop a basketball, it can bounce back up and I think you could put it right back in your rhythm, you know?
I would think those would be hard to juggle because they're so big.
One way to find out. See him at 2:30 and 5:30 today and also performances throughout the week. But here are the other things. The uniquely fair experiences. And I would consider this a performance. These incredible livestock competitions. For example, I love the draft horses.
They love any kind of horses.
Here you go. Today in the huge Coliseum, it's the horse pull. So you see these strong horses. 2 o'clock is the lightweights, the middleweights at 4 o'clock, and the heavyweights at 7 o'clock. And it's just to see the strength and to see the size of these horses and these animals and the people who handle them. So I think that's really uniquely a fair performance. And tomorrow, the Poultry and Rabbit Palace on Monday has rabbit hopping.
I'm allergic.
But rabbit hopping competition.
I'm allergic to rabbits.
Oh, no.
I can't go in. I really, my throat sort of swells up.
I'm glad you know that to avoid it. Oh, no. Well, for those of you who aren't allergic and want to be delighted, how fun would it be to watch a rabbit hopping competition?
Oh.
Tomorrow is the agility at 1 o'clock and the long jump at 4 o'clock. And I think on Tuesday, there are more rabbit hopping competitions at the Poultry and Rabbit Palace. Plus, there's the milking parlor every afternoon. We city folk really don't know what it takes to really take care of an animal. And so goat milking and cow milking, plus you got the pig races. You have a lot.
I like the dock diving. Have you seen that?
Oh,
with
the dogs?
Dogs,
all the
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, now that I can watch that for hours.
There is dock diving. The finals are tonight at 7 o'clock. There's also canine demonstrations. There's a stunt dog demonstration tonight. Yeah. If you love dogs and agility, and that dock diving is so fun. They can get up to 20 feet. You can get a good head of steam and toss that rubber stick out there. Yeah. What is it that's so compelling about that?
You know what I'm looking forward to this week, though? Monday and Tuesday night.
That was what I was going to say next. Sing it. Say it for me.
Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter.
Hermits starring Peter Noon. That was next on my list. I wasn't going to leave without saying it. I'm telling you, get your British Invasion music fixed tomorrow in two ways. Peter Noon, who is actually a buddy of mine from the 90s.
You know him?
I used to work at an oldies radio station in Atlanta, one of my first jobs out of college, and I got to work with Peter then, so I love that he comes back as an annual tradition for back-to-back nights at the Wisconsin State Fair, and if you've never seen him, it's all of the hits. He always interacts with the crowd. He has so much fun conversation in between the songs, but it's the right amount. He's an entertainer. It's not, okay, could you get to the song now? No, you will laugh, you will have fun. He loves watching the sky glider and hollering up to people at Bear. You know, like, you will really have a great time, and you'll get to meet Noonatics. That is the name of his loyal fans who will camp out in the front row and wave British flags. It is a fun, interactive experience with truly a legend. Peter Noon has his career started in the 60s. He was 16 years old. So he has really lived a full and fun life and is just a great performer. So 8 o'clock Monday and Tuesday on the Bank 5-9 Amphitheater. But I said there are two ways to get your British invasion fix. Monday at 6, the Britons.
Oh, you didn't have to tell me that. I knew that.
Your buddies, the Britons.
You know I love those guys.
Catch up on the WTMJ conversations if you haven't heard it already. But the Britons are so fun. And that is Monday at 6 at Left's Miller Lite Sports Bar and Grill. So you could swing by, see the Britons on Monday, then swing by and see Peter Noon and Hermit's Hermits.
Hey, I'll meet you there.
I would love that.
We'll have a great time, Sandy.
Something tells me I'm into something good.
Sandy Max, and it is a great show. What's on tap right here on WTMJ? Thanks, Sandy.
Thanks, Libby.
It's 8:59. We're going to be back after the news with more about the Wisconsin State Fair, including who can get a discount coming in the gates today. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And welcome back to Hour 2. A little bit later on this hour, we're going to tell you about some back-to-school shopping scams. Can you believe that? People are shopping.
That's a new one.
You know what? If there's money involved, somebody will find a way to try to take it from people. Anyway, now let's talk about something more pleasant, and that is the State Fair. It is now in its fourth day, and joining us is Christy Chuckle from the Wisconsin State Fair. And boy, Christy, I don't know, it's just such a great feeling when this fair is in town, and you have been out there every day since it began on Thursday. Tell us about those first couple of days.
Well, Thursday was wonderful. It started out great. It was honestly a great day other than the weather at night. So, you know, that was a little bit of a tough situation for us.
But you know what,
canceling a main stage show.
You really handled it well. I have to tip my hat to you. Yeah, I mean, because it's nothing that you can really control.
Right. Right. And you know what? We need to keep people safe. So we don't want people in those grandstands. We don't want people on those rides when there's lightning in the area. So we did what we had to do. And the next 2 days were great. Yesterday was a beautiful day. It was a little bit hot, but people came out anyway. We had great attendance. I mean, walking around, I felt like everyone was having a great time and the lines were manageable. So I hope people had fun and they're ready for another whole week of it.
You know what I like most about the fair is the smiles. It's like everybody has a smile on their face, whether they're getting in line to go on a ride or if they're in there in the barns watching the animals, especially the little kiddos watching them, or if they're just, you know, eating those delicious foods or watching some of the musical performances. Everybody is happy.
I know. I love it, too. And we have another whole week. Today is always a great day because it's Veterans and Military Recognition Day. So I love walking around this today, too, and just seeing all of these veterans, military, their families coming in. They can get in for free with their ID and their families as well. And we've got some great exhibits in Central Park. We have an awesome exhibit in the Expo this year as well. I finally got to see it yesterday, remembering our fallen. It's really, really moving. So I hope people will come out and enjoy that today.
And that's there throughout the whole week of the fair, right?
Yes. That exhibit stays, but today is the Veterans and Military Day. So we've got to have the admission deal. And then there's some other things going on in the Central Park area. So right outside of the Cream Puff Pavilion. So you'll definitely want to check those out today.
Yeah, tell us about these 34 tribute towers.
In the memorial,
yeah,
yes. So there's photos of, yes, you just have to see it. You know, you walk back there and there's photos of all the fallen soldiers and notes about them and their families. And it's just really, you need to take some time to walk through it.
Yeah,
for sure.
I know. And again, you do so much at the fair for military and veterans. And again, really appreciating them today with that free admission with their military ID. Now tell us about another highlight of the day. And I understand this is being presented by the Milwaukee Admirals.
Yes. We also have horse pulls going on. You're talking about Sass's Racing.
Let's talk about that first.
They're
let's talk about
presented
Sass's
by
Race.
The Admirals. Sass's Racing Pigs, staple at the fair. So much fun. There's shows all day long. They start at 11. They go all the way through 7:30 p.m. They've moved this year. We're throwing people off a little bit, but I think everyone's figured it out. We flipped the Wonder Fair wheel with the Racing Pigs. They were both in the same area, and we swapped places with them. And I think it's working really well. We wanted to see how traffic would flow through that area, how those vendors would, you know, it could help them be more successful. And the wheel is facing a different direction, so you can see it from more areas of the fair park, which is really beautiful. But definitely stop by the Racing Pigs. We have Brothers Osborne.
And, well, wait, no, I want to stick with that. Let's stick with the pigs for a second.
The pig.
Because the pigs okay. all have names. There's Hank,
yes,
there's Brooke, true. There's Maverick, and my personal favorite, Harvey.
Yes. I love that they all have names, too.
I do, too. And how many times today can we see them? Because it's not just once. They're out there racing several times.
Yes. 12:30, 1:30, 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, and 7:30. You have plenty of chances to see them.
So there is no
and they're
reason,
there every day.
Yeah, there's no reason not to see the Racing Pigs when you're at the fair. You get your cream puff.
Yeah.
You get something on a stick, and you go to see the Racing Pigs. I mean, those are must-dos. If you do nothing else at the fair,
definitely.
You have to do that. Well, tell us about the big stage show tonight, because a lot of people are looking forward to these acts.
Yeah, this is one of our best-selling shows. Brothers Osborne with Sarah Evans, very excited for that show. We've got shows all week, though. Casting Crowns, Charlie Behrens is coming back, so it'll be a really fun week. We've got more country later in the week. Also, check out the Bank 5-9 Amphitheater. There's a great show there tonight. But then just go walk around to all of the vendor stages. Last night, the Fair Park was just a great crowd. Young Gravy was playing on the main stage, but all those bands were playing like on Grandstand Avenue, and it was a lot of fun. I'm really excited for the week.
I know. We were talking with Sandy Max from What's on Tap here before the news, and she was mm-hmm. talking about some of the various bands, local bands, like the Britons, my favorite, playing around mm-hmm. the various stages at the fair. And, you know, if whatever kind of music you like, you're going to find a performer there that you're going to want to stop and listen to, even, you know, in between the Racing Pigs and the Green Buffs.
Yes. And it's all day and all night, too. I mean, there's always entertainment. We have our roving street entertainers. We have our Cirque. Our circus, which we call Cirque at the Fair, back this year. It's only the second year. I have not seen the show yet, but everyone said it was good last year and that it's amazing this year. So I hope people will check that out as well. They have three shows every day, and that's on the south end of the fair park.
And, you know, just going and walking around, you will find something, whether it's in the exposition center with all of the people who are selling various things, and it's so much fun to watch some of those pitches. And also to go over and just watch the 4-H'ers and the animals that they've put so much effort into raising over the last year. I admire those kids so much.
Yes. I mean, we have horse bulls tonight, so definitely, actually this afternoon they start, so definitely check that out in the Coliseum. There are a lot of animals leaving today, I like to remind people, because we have to switch them over. So
who's leaving?
The junior shows are over.
So tell us who's leaving. So if you want to see these,
The junior dairy are leaving. A lot of the rabbits already left, but we're going into beef cattle. So, you know, starting tomorrow, there'll be a lot of beef cattle in the barns, but we do have the horses there and the horse pulls today. So definitely check those out. We have online at wistatefair.com. We have a lot of information about which animals are in the barns on which days so that you can see, you know, if there's something you specifically want to see, you can make sure it'll be there that day.
And most importantly, from 10 to 4 today, it is Veteran and Military Appreciation Day, which means if you show your military ID, you will get in free. And thank you for doing that at the State Fair, Christy.
You're welcome. And remember, your family gets in free as well. So hopefully everyone will come on out. And if you can't come today, we also have a Veterans and Military discount every day on tickets as well.
Christy Chuckle from the Wisconsin State Fair. Thanks so much for joining us today. Have a great day at the fair.
Thank you.
It's 9:16. Coming up in just a couple minutes, it's Wyatt Barmore, Pooley and Sports on WTMJ.
A valiant effort by the crew fighting back Saturday afternoon in Washington, but it was ultimately too little too late in a 6-4 loss in the nation's capital. Brewers starter Aaron Civale only recording the first two outs of the bottom of the first before the trouble started. Five consecutive Nationals reaching base, and the Brewers were in a 4-0 hole by the end of the frame. Civale could not put away the Nats, giving up 3 2-strike hits in the inning, a fourth in the third when Luis Garcia pulled an 0-2 pitch into the seats, pushing Washington's lead to 5-0. That is the sixth home run allowed by Civale in just his first 23 innings with the Brewers. The offense wasn't going down without a fight, though. After a Reese Hoskins homer in the sixth cut the deficit to 6-2, the Brewers drew within a pair of runs in the eighth, Churio scored on a wild pitch, and Gary Sanchez made it 6-4.
Here's the 1-0 pitch, and a ground ball back up the middle into center field for a base hit. Mitchell will score. Sanchez delivers with an RBI single, and don't look now. The Brewers trail by just two runs here in the eighth.
Unfortunately, you do have to look now. That was all they'd get. Hoskins had the chance for heroics again, representing the tying run. He flew out to center against Nationals closer Kyle Finnegan. Rubber game in D.C. this afternoon. Tobias Myers on the mound for the crew. Our coverage starts at noon on WTMJ. Across the pond in Paris, a banner day for the American women at the Olympics. Simone Biles wins her latest gold in vault this time, her third of the game's seventh overall. Swimmer Katie Ledecky won the women's 800-meter freestyle, her ninth Olympic gold medal of all time. She joins Michael Phelps as the only swimmers to win the same event at four straight summer games. And Trinity Rodman with a spectacular extra time strike for the U.S. women's soccer team to move on in the knockout round. I'm Wyatt Barmore Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
I think in this particular sports cast, Wyatt was wearing a beret from the way he said belly. All right. Wyatt loves bears. A very special bear is having his birthday this week. We're going to tell you all about it. It's coming up on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News, 9:21 and 77 degrees at WTMJ.
Where the Rangers had an
I don't know if you remember, only you can prevent forest fires. But there's only one guy who said it, and that was Smokey Bear. Well, he's got quite a connection to Wisconsin, and he's celebrating his birthday this week. Joining us is Veronica Hinkey. She is the public affairs officer for Shawanamugan Nicolet National Forest. I always massacre that, Veronica, and I apologize in advance. But let's talk about Smokey, because he was such a huge part of my childhood.
Well, mine too, Libby. Thank you so much for this opportunity to talk with you about Smokey Bear.
Now, a lot of people refer to him as Smokey the Bear, but it really is Smokey Bear.
It really is Smokey Bear, and I'm glad you brought that up because it's something that we try to share with people that it really is Smokey Bear. Somewhere in there in the last 80 years, the got in the middle there, and we're trying to make sure people know about that. There's a song out there, Smokey the Bear, that's really popular, and that might be part of the confusion that people experience, but it's Smokey Bear.
All right, well, let's talk about celebrating his birthday, because it was 80 years ago that we started hearing about Smokey. What's his connection to Wisconsin?
Well, of course, Wisconsin is home to the Shawanamugan Nicolet National Forest. And in the forest, we always try to spread as much fire safety information as possible. So that's why he has a really strong presence here in Wisconsin. And there have been many celebrations throughout the state this whole summer because Smokey Bear is turning 80 years old on Friday, August 9th. And the celebrations continue, and we'll talk more about that. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about the origins of Smokey Bear and how he came about. On August 9th, 1944, the USDA Forest Service established the Smokey Bear public fire safety campaign for the reason of helping to raise awareness of the dangers of wildfires and the steps you can take to prevent wildfires. 6 years later, there was actually a real Smokey Bear. On May 4th, 1950, a bear cub was rescued from a wildfire in the Capitan Mountains in the Lincoln National Forest, which is in New Mexico. And Ranger Harlow Yeager saw some movement after the fire just about finished its way through. And in the charred remains, he got close up enough to see a tiny bear cub hugging a burned out pine trunk. And the badly burned cub was cared for by veterinarians in Santa Fe. And game warden Ray Bell and his young family helped to care for the little cub and helped get him strong enough to be transported to Washington, D.C., where he took up residence, was living at the National Zoo. So he really became very well known through that story. And people started writing letters to him. And he received so much U.S. mail that the U.S. Postal Service actually gave Smokey Bear his own zip code in 1962. And it's still in effect now, Libby. You can still send a letter to Smokey Bear. It's a neat story about a community coming together and really being a part of something special.
This week, you can actually help Smokey Bear celebrate his 80th birthday at the State Fair.
Yes, isn't that exciting? The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is going to be hosting a celebration of Smokey Bear's 80th birthday at the Wisconsin State Fair. Smokey Bear will be making periodic visits from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Monday, August 5th, and on Friday, August 9th, on his actual birthday. So that is really neat. People can come and pose for photos and their gifts and cards. We have a birthday card for Smokey Bear on our Facebook page that you can download in color if you want to take it to the State Fair for Smokey Bear. He's been getting a lot of mail. So he's going to be located in the Exploratory Park, which is located next to the Expo Center on the fairgrounds.
And that's going to be on Monday and then again on Friday. In addition to that, next Saturday, the day after his actual birthday, he is going to be in Wauwatosa.
Yes, Libby. He's going to be at the Forest Exploration Center in Wauwatosa.
And that's, I guess they're going to be doing some stories and they're going to talk about fire safety. They even have some free gifts from Smokey Bear, and I think a lot of people are going to want to enjoy and wish him a happy 80th birthday. And you know, the interesting thing, Veronica, is he doesn't look anywhere near his real age.
I've been hearing that a lot, Libby, this summer as we go from place to place with Smokey Bear. And yes, he's getting great comments about how well he's aged.
I love it. Veronica Hinkes, thank you so much for joining us today. And we all wish Smokey Bear a very happy birthday.
Okay, thank you, Libby.
And Isaac just pointed out, it looks like Smokey's had some work done. The lines and wrinkles are gone, huh? Is that, yeah, okay. All right, it is 9:29, and we have 77 degrees at WTMJ. And welcome back to the final half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. It's 9:36. Wisconsin Craft is a not-for-profit organization that hosts a couple of annual events, including the Morning Glory Art Fair, which is going to take place next weekend on August 10th and 11th. And joining us is Jean Wells. She's a potter and also past president of Wisconsin Craft. Tell us about the Morning Glory Art Fair, because so many people look forward to it.
Yes, this show has been around for 49 years. It is our 49th year of doing it, so it is a well-known show. We get a lot of attendees. This year we'll have about 130 artists plus six emerging artists on the plaza in front of Pfizer Forum.
Now, how do you select the artists who are going to participate?
So it is a competitive selection. The artists are juried in. So there's a program that we use where artists submit images of their work, and it's called a blind jury. So we have three jurors that are either artists or gallery owners or professors that actually look at the images of the work, and they're scored. And then the highest scores in each of the categories then get selected for the show.
Now, you mentioned the categories, and there's, what, 10 different categories of art that we'll see?
Yes. Ceramics is a category. We have fiber arts, which includes, like, leather, wearables. Jewelry is a separate category. Glass. mixed media. Painting and drawing are judged together. Photography and digital art are also judged together. And then there's printmaking, sculpture, and wood.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Jean. Which of those categories do you think draw the most people in terms of interest?
Well, it is interesting because people do kind of have a medium that they're interested in. At least that seems like, as a potter myself, a lot of people who purchase my pottery also purchase pottery from other artists at the shows. And then there are, of course, women and men who just love jewelry, and they'll go to the different jewelers around the show. And a lot of just people are drawn to 2D art, painting and drawing and photography. And, you know, of course, prints are always a more affordable way to purchase art, and those are also available, and people tend to love that.
Now, I understand you've also got 6 emerging artists that you're going to feature, people we haven't seen before.
Yes, yeah, so this is the 4th year that Wisconsin Craft has wanted to support emerging artists, and we've been working with the Peck School of the Arts. The faculty there picks several students with outstanding work, and they then come to the art fair first time. They've never been to an art fair before, and they are there all in the same booth 40 this year, displaying and selling their works that they've created at UWM.
And next Sunday, you are starting something for the first time that you've never done before.
Yes, it was a really great idea created by one of our board members from Wisconsin Craft, Kathy DeVries. She is also an artist. As a way to kind of engage the public where they can learn more about the artists and what they create. So it's called the Breakfast Club. It starts in the morning before the show opens, and it is a little fundraiser. We're charging $30 per person, and it includes, you know, a simple breakfast and some coffee. And then Kathy has selected 4 different artists working in different medias. And the group will then go to each of those artists. The artists will talk about their work. You can ask questions, so on and so forth. So it's a really great way to engage people who are curious about learning more. And it's a great way to start the morning because then the show opens at 10. And then you can go into the show and feel a lot more confident about what you might be seeing and more comfortable asking artist questions as you attend.
You know, and that's an interesting point, because just because you go to the Morning Glory Art Fair, it doesn't mean you have to buy something. You can just sort of wander around, talk to artists, and learn more about their craft.
Exactly. So this is the way we're kind of hoping to draw people in and make them feel a little more comfortable doing that sort of thing.
Now, if you want to get more information about the Morning Glory Art Fair taking place next Saturday and Sunday, where do we go?
We have 2 websites you can go to, specifically the morninggloryartfair.com, or you can go to wisconsincraft.org.
Jean Wells from the Wisconsin Craft Association, it is always great to talk with you.
Thanks so much, Libby. Have a great day.
It's 941, 77 degrees at WTMJ. Okay, we're kind of in that state fair mode today. I mean, we talked about Smokey Bear being at the fair. We talked about the cream puffs. We talked about all the bands. We talked with Christy Chuckle from the fair about Military Appreciation Day today. So it's kind of got us in that mood, you know? You think state fair? You think farm things, right? They've got all the farm animals there. We're talking about the cows and the pigs and the chickens and the ducks. And so it gets me in that farmer kind of mood. And I had the opportunity to talk with somebody who wanted to marry a farmer. And we're going to tell you about it right after this. It's all I have on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's 943, 77 degrees at WTMJ. We're going to get up there into the upper 80s today, maybe even close to 90s, particularly if you're away from the lake. Well, you know, I have one of the best jobs, I think, here at WTMJ, because I get to do WTMJ conversations and talk to the most interesting people, and it's not limited to just a soundbite or, you know, a couple minutes. I really get to sit down and have a long conversation and kind of get to know a person. Well, the person we're featuring on Conversations today, I have to tell you, I had more fun with her than I've had with a lot of people in a long time. And why? Well, she's a young woman, very attractive, very nice, very intelligent. And you kind of wonder why somebody like that, with so much going for her, decided to go on a reality TV show to find love. Now think about it. Grace Gerard from Racine, she got on a plane and she didn't know where she was going. And it was all because she thought she just might meet the love of her life on the TV show Farmer Wants a Wife. And she told me how this all began.
They actually didn't even tell us where we were going. They just said, here's your flight from Milwaukee to Atlanta. Be at the airport by 9 a.m.
You
be ready
to
go.
Know where you were going?
No. So I landed in Atlanta, and it ended up filming in Alabama.
So they came to get you, I assume, at the airport.
Yes.
Did they tell you at that point you're going to Alabama, or you just got on another plane?
They did tell me at that point we were going to Alabama. They got us into a car. They told us, like, the type of person to look for, and she'll get you and a couple other girls into a car, and you're going to drive away.
So at this point, had you talked to these other girls who were the other contestants?
They had told us, you know, keep talking to a minimum because they really wanted to keep everything authentic for the cameras. So it was kind of a silent car ride.
What was your impression of the other girls? Because, I mean, right now, you know, they're your competition.
Exactly. No, there was definitely that edge to it. I'm too much of a Midwest nice girl to, like, sit there and not try and talk to people. But there was, like, that I shouldn't be giving anything away about myself. So it was kind of an interesting experience.
Okay, right when they told me I'm going to Alabama, that's where I think I would have turned around. You're going to go meet a guy in Alabama. Okay, no, I don't think so. But anyway, Racine's Grace Girard, I did it. And she, this is such an interesting conversation. She talks all about what it was like. And by the way, they got to bring their own clothes. They don't give them wardrobe. I mean, it's just, and how her mother, when she heard that she wasn't, she didn't know where she was going, she put like a GPS tracker in her luggage that Grace didn't know about until she found it. It's a fun interview. You got to hear it. And best of all, you find out how Grace's love life took an unexpected turn after the end of the show. So you want to hear this. It's at 11 o'clock this morning. It's on WTMJ Conversations. And like I said, it is a fun one. So you don't want to miss it. It's 9:46 and coming up in just a minute, we've got Wyatt Barmer, Pooley and Sports right here on WTMJ.
The struggles continue for new Brewers starter Aaron Civale, putting the crew in a 4-0 hole they'd never recover from before the bottom of the first inning was even over. Five consecutive Nationals reached base on 3 2-strike hits in the inning. Civale giving up another in the third inning to Luis Garcia.
Garcia waits, and another 0-2 pitch. Hit deep into right field. Way back there goes Frelick, turning around and watching it fly. Luis Garcia hits it into the seats for a home run.
That pushed Washington's lead to 5-0, ended up being the deciding run as well in a 6-4 loss. That is the sixth homer allowed by Civale in his first 23 innings with the crew. A late comeback effort by the Brewers offense falling short and evening up the series now at a game apiece. Rubber game in D.C. this afternoon. Tobias Myers on the mound for the crew. Our coverage starts at noon right here on WTMJ. And putting on my red, white, and blue top hat to check on the Olympics, Simone Biles, the GOAT, wins her latest gold medal, this time in vault, third of the games, seventh in her career. And she might be the greatest to ever do it on land, but Katie Ledecky is the greatest to ever do it in the water. She won the women's 800-meter freestyle for the fourth straight games, her ninth Olympic gold medal. Her and Michael Phelps are the only swimmers who have won the same event at four straight Olympics. And the U.S. women's soccer team is moving on after Trinity Rodman saved them from PKs, a spectacular extra time strike, a 1-0 win, and the U.S. women's team is moving on from the knockout round. And I won't leave the American men out either. Bespectacled internet sensation Steven Nedorozhik, the pommel horse guy, will be the only U.S. male gymnast to medal individually in Paris, earning a bronze in, of course, the pommel horse. I'm Wyatt Barmore Pooley, WTMJ Sports.
And a tip of our top hat, our red, white, and blue top hat, to Wyatt Barmore Pooley. Always a great joy to have him on sports. It's 9:50 and 77 degrees at WTMJ. Are you doing some back-to-school shopping? Oh, boy. You better watch out. There's people who want your money, and you don't want to give it to them. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
It's going to be a sunny and warm Sunday. We do have a chance of some storms later on tonight. Not real severe, according to TMJ4 meteorologist Brendan Johnson. But we're going to get up to about 87, might even hit 90 in some areas. Then tonight, chance of showers and storms, cloudy, humid, down to 70 degrees. Tomorrow, we're going to cool off finally, 76 for a high, but we might get some rain and storms tomorrow night with heavy rain. Then on Tuesday, that rain's going to start, kind of continue overnight. It'll be cloudy and breezy with a high of 70 degrees. And as we look further into the week, on Wednesday, again, cool temperatures, 74, sunny, cooler, less humid. And on Thursday, partly cloudy, 74 for a high. If you want to get out and enjoy some lake time today, right now, Pine Lake, you're at 76 degrees. Muskego has 78. Elkhart Lake's at 77. And right along the lakefront in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, it is 78 degrees at 9:54. Say it isn't so. Summer is more than half over, and that means a lot of people are out there doing their back-to-school shopping, but not so fast. There are people out there who might want to take advantage of you, and joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline is Michelle Reinen, our consumer expert from DatCap. And is this true? Are there really back-to-school scams out there?
Oh, yeah, there are. And I chuckle because we probably aren't going to see any scams in the brick-and-mortar stores or in the newspaper advertisements. But fake websites that scammers have set up is a legitimate thing, and they know that this is a seasonal item that we're going to be entering into and purchasing. So scammers send fake ads claiming to be trusted businesses like Amazon and other big box stores, and those ads offer these amazing deals and low prices, but they really lead shoppers to a nearly identical copy of who they are pretending to be's website that's really meant to steal your money and personal data.
How can you tell whether or not one of those websites is legit?
Yeah, that's the hard part here. So you need to be very cautious. Different things you want to be mindful of and watch for are deep discounts, things that are just too good to be true. Those items that just run out of store shelves because they are the most popular, but yet they still have tons available to them. And you really need to pay attention to the URL address. If you are going to, let's just say, walmart.com, that's where you should be going to, not Walmart/spring sale or back-to-school sale/this.com. You need to be paying attention to be sure that you aren't just following those URLs and those links wherever they take you.
Why is it important to use a credit card when you're making these online purchases?
Well, you get extra protections under the federal regulations, so you want to be able to use that credit card so you have those protections against fraud built in, and you can file that dispute to hopefully get your money back should the product never show up or just be completely inferior as a copycat product.
Now, what about when you're checking out? What should you look for?
Well, here you want to be sure that you double check your items are priced correctly at checkout. If an item rings up at a higher price than was listed on the shelf or in the ad, you need to bring that to attention of the teller that's helping you or the clerk, or even take it to the customer service counter if you're in a store to see that the correction will be made. And if not, report that to Consumer Protection.
And finally, Michelle, if you think you've been scammed, who do we call?
Please call Consumer Protection's hotline at 1-800-422-7128.
Always great to hear from Michelle Reinen from DatCap. It's 9:57. It is a great day to get out to the state fair. We heard everything that's going on there. You'll want to go out and get a cream puff. Have one for me. Coming up after the news, it's going to be Brian Wickard and Tim Holdman on the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. And they're going to give you a refresher on refinancing, because a lot of people, you know, those rates are starting to creep down just a little bit. Maybe they'll come down a little bit more, because they said the Fed's going to announce some more, maybe some rate lowering in September. So you'll want that refresher on refinance right after the news. Also, I'll be back at 11 o'clock with Grace Girard. She tells the whole story about trying to find love on a reality TV show. And wait until you hear what happened after the camera stopped filming. It's a great story. And then it's the Brewers at Noon. I'm Libby Collins, Jessica, and the news up next right here on WTMJ.